to welcome you all to Center Friends on this cold February morning. We are going to begin our worship service by standing and singing hymn 341, Come Thou Almighty King. Together this morning, Lord, and though it's cold outside, Lord, thank you for the warmth in here and the warmth in our hearts as we gather together to worship you and to love one another. Please, Lord, open our hearts and minds to the words and your message today through Tommy and help for us to all have a good week and to remember your presence daily. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now we've got some pretty tired folks here, I bet, after last night, but I think it was a big success. With the Valentine's steak dinner, are there any other or any announcements that need to be mentioned?
Hey, I have the numbers on the Valentine's steak dinner. Kay, do you know how many dinners are served? How many dinners are served?
Around 250.
About 250 dinners. So currently the number is the steak dinner made $1,971.50. And the youth racked up, they raised $1,050.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Good job.
Yeah, next year the kids are going to work the kitchen and we're going to do it.
You think you can beat $1,050?
I'll put $500 in. Ruth put the other
five on there. Keep a reputation.
It was a great evening last night, and if you haven't seen some pictures, if you have a Facebook account or Instagram, you can follow us on that. And I did take some pictures of the youth serving, of the kitchen staff, of Marvin washing dishes, and I've got another picture that you'll see later in the month of Marvin. I love you. And it was a good time. It was an exhausting time for everybody. There were a lot of compliments about our youth servers. They worked very hard. They were very professional. They did an excellent job serving some excellent food. And if you didn't get a potato, I can tell you they're about this big around. And they were very good. And the chicken was big. The steaks were good. Everything just worked out really well. And this was our 32nd Valentine's steak dinner. So I think we've got it down to a science now. Yeah, we don't skimp on salad bars. But another announcement, I will let you know that the Friends Church of North Carolina Focus Conference is on the back of your bulletin. It's March 15th through 18th. They have a couple guest speakers that will be coming, and we're partaking in that, and they'll be here at Center one of those days during that weekend. It's a great time of worship, great time of listening and learning, and being in the Spirit, but also opening ourselves up to being used by Christ in such a remarkable way of discipleship and fulfilling that great commission of going out and talking to people about our Jesus and sharing that message. So if you have interest in wanting to attend that, you can see me, and I've got some information about that. But it should be a very good weekend, even if you want to come one day or a couple days. It's kind of up to you on that. Any other announcements? If not, would our ushers come forward, please? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this fresh air. While we may feel that coldness in our bodies, we know that you control that, and that is you're letting us know you have control. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you've given us as not only as a church, but as a body of Christ. We thank you for last night and the wonderful fellowship that occurred, the giving that occurred, and we lift all of our receivings to you. We place them in your name and in your service. You guide us, you lead us, and direct us on how we are to use those resources so we can better spread the message of the gospel to a hurting world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
having a special celebration at school for Valentine's Day? Yeah, what would you do in school?
I would.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, what are y'all planning on this special celebration? No, hopefully we'll do that. Do you know what we're doing here? Donuts, that's fun. So, have you got a little, what are you doing?
I just want to buy mommy and dad.
That's right, that's very sweet. A lot of you are gonna make some stuff for your parents and your siblings maybe. But what's one thing that we tend to do at Valentine's Day? Give things to people, yeah. Do y'all ever get those little cards and you?
Yeah.
There you go. So I remember when I was your age, we would make little folders or little mailboxes and put them on our desk, and then we would kind of play post office worker and go around and put the little cards in all of our friends' mailboxes. So that's a special thing we do at Valentine's Day, and some people do that all year round, some moments and things like that to show people that they love them. But did y'all know that God is, he wants to be our Valentine? How many of you read the sign that's out front when you came in this morning, or maybe your parents read it to you? Right, but maybe they're wrong read it to you. Or, okay, did anybody bring it older? Kids? Everybody? That's right, it says, will you be my Valentine, love God. And if you missed it, then maybe when you leave, you can ask your parents to drive extra slow so you can see it before asking for your tickets. Yeah, it's out front. So God has to be your Valentine, always, not just on Valentine's Day, but every day. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of John, in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life or everlasting life. So what that means is that God sent us the best Valentine present ever when he sent his Son Jesus to save the world, to save us from our sin. So when you go through this week and celebrating Valentine's Day with your friends and family, I want you to think about that, how you can show people that you love them just like God showed us how much he loved us when he sent Jesus. Okay? Can y'all do that? Not just a Valentine's Day every day, but love every day, not just one day a year. So, but especially this week with Valentine's Day coming up, it's a good reminder. Okay? So let's pray together on this and next one. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each of the children here and the things they represent this morning. Thank you for sending the ultimate Valentine present to us and your Son Jesus. And Lord, I just ask that you please help us all to show love and show your love every day. But especially this week of Valentine's Day, give us extra things to think about. And Lord, I just ask that you please bless all these children this week and their families and bring us all back here together next week if it be your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, that was my sermon. We don't talk about the lessons we teach at home, so I think we're closing now. No. We'll go in time of a prayer and praise. I want to update you that my uncle, Billy McFarland, who is on our list, had a CT scan this past week to see what keeps causing his pneumonia. I mentioned that he was a metal worker, so there are definitely concerns there with breathing and respiratory issues, and hopefully next week we'll have some good news. So if you would continue to pray over him this week, and that the...
tomorrow to get the results of the MRI.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get the results tomorrow, so you will pray today and tonight that those results come back clear, and that it's just pneumonia, and they can clear it up. We definitely appreciate that. I got a word from Linda Hatchell that their neighbor, Carolyn Kelby, who some may know here, is battling medical issues of a bacterial infection in her blood. That is pretty critical, but she is at the hospital being treated for that. So if you would lift up her family, Carolyn Kelby, we'll add her to the prayer list until we can get her back up and running. So any others that we need to update on?
Women's basketball coach at Greensburg College, Randy Tuggle. He was diagnosed last week with pancreatic cancer.
Is it pancreatic cancer? Tommy Becky Wilson, who's been on our prayer concerns for a while, she had a scan this week. She is cancer-free and was able to ring the bell at the cancer center.
Awesome news.
Yes, sir.
My bus driver's son had back surgery.
Your bus driver's son passed away?
I had back surgery.
Oh, had back surgery. I'm sorry. What's your bus driver's name?
Kenny.
I'm sorry?
Kenny.
Kenny? We'll pray for Kenny's brother.
Son.
I'm sorry. Kenny's son. And the back surgery. Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father God, we come to you again with blessed hearts. We come to you with blessed lives. We know that as you are in those lives, that you are touching us in some special way. But we have so many thanksgivings that we may not realize. We have so many blessings that you give us that we just take for granted each day. But we also come to you with needs. And we thank you for allowing us to do that, for allowing us to bow before you and place those needs on the cross. Lord, we lift up Kenny today and lift up his son. As he's impacted a life here, Lord, help him get through this back surgery that doctors know and can be wise in their decision making, their treatment plans. He can be touched and healed quickly. Lord, we lift up Carolyn Kelby this morning. You know the need there, the medical issue, the critical issue. Infections are so difficult to diagnose and to treat, Lord. And we ask that you touch her and you place her hand upon her family and her, that they have patience and they have peace of heart, and that they feel the healing presence you place on her so that she can be returned to full strength and returned to her friends and her neighbors. But we lift up Randy Tuggle this morning, a tragic diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. Lord, you know and we know the struggle that is coming forward. We know that pancreatic cancer is so, so difficult. We know that the impact of he has on the lives of the college students at Greensboro, and that through it may be through his ministry that he does, touches those young lives and informs their minds and their beliefs and their lives in such a way that they can go out and be productive citizens of your world. Lord, give his doctors a clear plan. Give his body full strength to deal with the treatments. Bless him and touch him, Lord. We know you can. We know you can because you've done it in Becky Wilson, Lord, and we thank you so much for that this morning, that she rang the bell. She's free from cancer. We know she believes in you and loves you, Lord, and has a faith relationship with you. And we know that while science has a part, you control science. And we thank you for that. Any other quiet needs here? You know those. You know what's on people's hearts. You know the struggles they're going through over the next couple weeks in the past. You know what thanksgivings they have. Touch them. Hear them. Break their hearts if needed, that they can see you and can lean on you. And they can go to the cross with those needs. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who takes those cares away from us, those concerns. We love you and we praise you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I am certainly thankful that we can be whiter than snow. I'm certainly thankful that we can be washed whiter than snow. And if you will indulge me with my water, I won't choke while I'm up here preaching this morning. Well, Whitney kind of gave a little bit away for my sermon this morning, talking about Valentine's Day. It's coming. Guys, it's coming. I don't like Valentine's Day. Let me stop there. We have a lopsided meeting this morning. So I apologize to y'all if I look too much to this side. There's just 100 more people over here. This side does not have the flu, I promise. But back to my message. I don't like Valentine's Day. And I know some guys are like, yeah, I don't either. And the ladies are like, "Don't." I'm not asking for hands, I promise. And the ladies are like, well, he best like it. I love you every day of the year. Or I should. Why in the world would I want to take just one day to show you when I should be doing it every day of the year? Guys, there's your argument. Why does hearts, red hearts, and I've got my red stripes on, chocolates, cards, big old bears, nice dinners, dinner you get once a year, twice a year. What is it about February 14th that says, well, I just really love y'all extra today? Honey, I love you today. Here's a card. See, I don't do cards either. Like on gifts, I don't do cards because it's just paper that gets stacked up. But that's just me. But what is it about a box of chocolates that says I love you? I don't know. I should be loving you 365 days a year, and I want you to know I love you 365 days a year. I don't know that one day matters. Now, you love your significant other and your family 365 days a year. You don't have to like them 365 days a year. Okay? But you have to love them. And so Valentine's Day, I told Whitney, we started dating. I said, you ain't getting nothing for Valentine's Day. Rajan's looking at me and scolding me. I do send flowers, but I do flowers and that's it. But I don't do the traditional red roses. I do like a purples and just kind of something different. But that's just to keep me out of trouble. But I just have a hard time spending a lot of money on one day out of the year just to say I love you when I should be doing it every day of the year. And so that kind of leads into our message this morning. And we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about what love kind of is, what love should be, and what love we should be giving. It's an interesting word. And when you try to tell someone, tell me what love is, people wrote songs about it, either to the sadness of their dog in country honky-tonk or to a love ballad. If you're into hair bands in the 80s, or to talk about how love stinks, love bites, or love is a wonderful thing. But what is it? Well, it's love is love. I just love you. Webster says it's an intense feeling of deep affection or a great interest in something. Okay, I'll give it that. So love by those definitions covers pretty much anything and everything we like a lot. I love donuts. They bring me pleasure. I have an interest in donuts. I love history. I read history. It brings me joy to understand and learn history. I love my family. I love this church. I love driving fast with my blue lights and siren on. Love it. I love the smell of a storm coming in the summer. And when I say that, I bet half of you were like, yeah, you can smell it. I love the feeling of a hot shower on a cold day. And I really love Olive Garden salad dressing. I really love that. I can just put a straw in it. But the word love can be placed in so many contexts. In so many different things, in so many different ways, in so many different situations, and we can love different things and different people and different times, different places, different sounds. We can learn those, we can love those things. And Paul explains in Corinthians a very clear definition of what love is and what it is not. And I want to read that to you. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. That definition is a lot better than Webster's. Beautiful passage. It explains the demographics of love and what love looks like and what love doesn't look like. It's a perfection of love. The details, the attributes of the emotion, it's a powerful statement. It gives you chills when you hear love never fails. Awesome sentence. Now, alternately, like I said, you've heard people say love is confusing, especially when you're a teenager. Love is aggravating. Love causes problems. Love hurts. Love bites. Love stinks. Love just makes everything worse. Love is expensive. Love is exhausting. I disagree with every one of that. Every one of those things. Love is an interesting thing. Let's take a look at our passage this morning in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start with verse 37 and go through 39. And Paul writes, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I like that explanation. As I've told you before, the book of Romans is a letter written to the Roman Christians. And Paul wrote this letter before visiting. He wrote this as a resume of his theology, of what he believes. And so we're in the back of chapter 8. And leading up to that, his description is glorifying God. That's what Paul was wanting to do, is to glorify God and to explain that glorification through Jesus. And early in the chapter, he's talking about the Christians and their present suffering, but their glory and eternal salvation that will be coming. Paul's message is very clear. Nothing can separate us from God's love for us. And he even breaks it down. Neither death. Nope. The end of a physical life cannot separate God's love for us. It will not remove the presence of Christ in your spiritual life. Leaving this world cannot separate us from God's love he gives us. In fact, it brings us closer. Life. Life is hard. No trial, no pain, no pleasure, no comfort of life, no anything in this life can separate Jesus from us. Just cannot. Absolutely cannot. Cannot separate love that God gives us. Angels or demons, no heavenly or spiritual creature, no being from any other dimension, no Martians, no space aliens can pull God's love away from us because God always gives it to us. The present or the future, present events, things, people, future events that are to come will not pull God's love away from us. Nothing in the existence now, in the existence before, or in the existence to come, can stop God from loving us. Nothing too high, nothing too low, nothing in the depths of the oceans or in the stars of the heavens can stop God from loving us. And here's the catch-all. Nor anything else in all creation can stop God from loving us. Nothing else ever possibly made, nothing in existence. Nothing. Your mind cannot comprehend and compute anything. Science cannot create something. evil one cannot create anything to pull God's love away from us. How awesome is that? It's there. God loves us all the time. How awesome is that? Nothing can stop it. No one can stop it. Ever, never, nope, will not happen, period, the end. God's conquering love for us is intentional. It is sanctifying. Brings us to a holy position with Him. And it is everlasting. But let me ask you this. As a teenager, how many people remember their first crush? It's that person that, whether it's in school or someone at church, Sunday school, whatever, and they kind of make you uncomfortable and happy at the same time. You're kind of like, what happened? Ladies, you spent all night talking to your girlfriends about them, giggling, laughing, cutting up, carrying on. I think he likes you. No, I don't know. I think he likes you. You should tell him. I'm not telling him. You tell him. I'm not telling him. Guys, you spend your time trying to be mean to that person, so they don't know that you like them. Boys do that. Boys are mean. Until they learn if they just quit being mean, life would be a lot easier. Just a dumb girl. Maybe you wrote that person a note that says, I love you, do you love me? Circle yes or no. Who wants to admit writing a note like that? Yep. Stephanie's raising her hand. I love you, do you love me? Now maybe you sent your friend over to tell them in the cafeteria. Or your group of friends went over. Susie really likes you. Shut up. Maybe it was a text. You want to just start talking. Whatever that means. You should be talking anyway. Or it's a Snapchat. Or maybe it's a post of some sort. What was their response? Oh, I love you too. Did they circle yes or no? Did they say, you're just a friend? That's a punch in the gut. Or I don't like you like that. I don't love you like that. Those can be absolutely devastating words to hear. Absolutely devastating when you have just, but Mama, I just love him. He says he don't like me no more. He's not giving me the love back. How many in your adult relationships have been like that? Paul says nothing can stop God's love for us, but let me ask you this. What about our love for God? God sends a message through Christ. He loves us. Circle yes or no. I want you to examine your love back to God. Because Paul tells us that nothing can separate God's love for us. Our relationship with Him is not a one-sided deal. I tell people in a relationship, and Whitney will roll her eyes if you can see her behind the organ, that when you're in a loving relationship, you want to make it right, you should wake up in the morning with the goal to outlove the other person. And if both do it right, no one gets slighted. Wake up in the morning trying to outlove the other person. And if you both commit to doing it, no one gets on the losing end of the stick. God created man in His image and woman in His image to care for the earth. And to engage in a loving relationship, an intentional relationship. He loves us unconditionally. And that means He loves us all the time, every day, every minute, every hour, every second, every sin, every good deed, every possible relationship, God loves us. But can we say the same back? Christ Jesus, the God in the form of man, sent to us as an example, as a hello, I exist, love me, I will die for you. I can't tell you how much I love you because I'm just going to put my son on the cross enduring trials and pains and sufferings and temptations. He gave himself to the world. A living, a dying, and a reborn example of what love looks like. For God so loved the world. Agape love. Love everlasting. It calls us the highest form of love and charity. It is that love of God. It's called agape love. It's Greek. It's the love of God for man, and it's supposed to be the love man has for God. It is a self-sacrificing love. Love does not fail if it's agape love. So what's wrong with us when it comes to loving Him back? Nothing can separate us from God, but when it comes to us loving Him, there's one obstacle that gets in the way. Ourselves. We get in our own way in most everything we do. We talked about the fall of man earlier in the last month, and since that happened, we have done nothing but stumble over ourselves. We are our own carpet we trip over. And let me say it a different way. Let me read this to you and see if this makes sense. This is how our love works as a fallen creation. Love is patient, but we are not. Love is kind, but we are not. It does not envy, but we do. It does not boast, but we do. It is not proud, but we are. It does not dishonor others, but we do. It is not self-seeking, but we are. It is not easily angered, but we can be. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, if we know the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, but we don't always protect. We certainly don't always trust. Sometimes we lose hope, and sometimes we don't persevere. Love never fails, but because we are fallen, we do sometimes. We fall. We fail. It's hard. Love is hard. It's hard to go through life with all the struggles that we are dealing with and the stuff that we have to put in our boxes. And we're supposed to give our boxes to God and let Him have them. The headaches and the relationships and the heartbreaks and the work. And just, do I have to love Him back? Yeah. Shouldn't that be our goal, is to outlove, or at least try to outlove God? We're in a relationship with Him. It's especially hard for us to try and love Him with the agape level of love, but it can be done. We can at least try. Remember our passage from Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. It's not just in the Old Testament, but Jesus said it in Matthew. So, hello. God's Son said that's what we're supposed to do. We need to be constantly and consistently displaying our love for God, who directs the Holy Spirit that moves within us. That wonderful light, Christ that's placed in us. That of God in every person is love we give back. There's that wonderful warm light of Christ. Placed in each person, not just the good ones, but everyone. The sinner, right here. I've got the light of Christ in me. The light never leaves. It's through the revelations, that constant living with Christ and living and understanding those inward connections with God and that Holy Spirit moving within us and then our outward displays of that love, that we can get to that agape level. Because Jesus said we're to love one another. The goal is to become more Christ-like in this hurting world. If we learn from Jesus, we can love like Jesus. So going back to Valentine's Day, I still don't like it, even after this sermon, because one day isn't enough. One card isn't enough. One cream-filled chocolate, ugh, isn't enough. one dinner, one steak, one bouquet of flowers, one hug, one smile, one kiss, one handshake, one pat on the back, one phone call isn't enough. Every day, every hour, every second is still not enough. But when we leave this physical world, all that love will be shown through us. And God will accept us and say, thank you. I love you. And we can look at him and say, I love you too. During open worship, I want you to reflect on God and how you've shown love for him, but how he's shown love over the course of your life. And you may say, yeah, but I've been through this and I've been through that and all this other stuff and this tragedy and this pain, despair, the sadness in our world. And every time I turn on the news, it's just, ugh. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because as the tragedy goes away, as the sadness starts to ease up, the person that's there, the love that's there, is that agape love. We see God's true heart. The world uses our flaws as Christians to say that we're hypocrites or we don't have this faith. We're supposed to be perfect and we don't. But God loves that person too, and so should we. It's in us how we live our lives. It is in us on how we love our God. It is in us where the world who constantly pushes back will see God's conquering love work. The people who say there isn't a God, tell them to look at you because you are God's love to them. Serve them. There is a God that loves. He loves me and I love him back. And you know what? And I love you too. That is God working through you to love them. It's in our love for him where we become living examples of who Jesus Christ was, who Christ is, and who Christ will be. We're reaching those whose hearts are broken or angry or hardened or just empty, or the people who are just spiritually blind. The first step is being able to love God. Wake up trying to love him as much. If I can just get to as much as he loves me, man, could you imagine what life would be like? And then all the stuff rushes in and takes that away. So let me ask you, are we going to wake up and try to love him as much as he loves us? God sent us a note that says, I love you. Do you love me? Are you going to circle yes or are you going to circle no?
Thank you. should have said this during the prayers and concerns and praises, but it is so good to see Donald Engelbach with Donald back there in his seat, and it's going to be even better when I see Ethel up here in her seat in the choir to the left of me. Left of me. So, good to have you both back.
Thank you. I would have been back sooner if I could see Keith Jones in that Carolina outfit.
You missed it, Donald. You missed
it. I did.
Well, I had one yesterday. I had a busy schedule. Yeah, this has been praying on my mind quite a bit. I'll get it together in a second. Go to Andy and Shirley's. It's a tough time at the Hodgman place right now. So, but Andy and I, load up all the metal. So we get all our metal on my trailer. I'm trying to do them a little favor, which is not an equalizer, believe me, all the stuff is up for us. So we throw all the metal on the trailer, and I take off to D.H. Griffin. D.H. Griffin is where you go to recycle metal. So I go in over there, and I've got 10 things to do yesterday. And so I'm hustling. And I get there and I go through the line, unload all the metal, come and I turn, go through the gate, and it's only one way in, one way out kind of thing. So I come in, I turn around, and there's a truck in the way. It's running, and I'm saying, what's going on here now? So 2 minutes turns to what I feel like is an eternity, 30, in my mind. And there's a couple of cars behind me. They're beeping the horn. And blood pressure's rising, and all that. And here comes a an old man out. He's got one arm, and the other hand is entangled. And I'm like, doggone, man, you're in better shape than I am. He comes out smiling. That just struck me. God speaks to you if you listen.
Thank you, Tommy, and thank you both for sharing. We are going to close the worship service today by standing and singing 469, Higher Ground, verses 1 and 4.
Resting on the upward way.
the ability to gather in freedom. We thank you that you do not separate your love from us, and nothing can come between you and us, Lord. Help us be that willing light in that relationship with you, and that we can take that light into a dark world and share the message of the love of your Son, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.